Part 3. Wave Machines. Karlsruhe, Germany, 1887. Extract from the diary of Heinrich Hertz, 1884. 27 January, 1884. Thought about electromagnetic rays. 11 May. Hard at Maxwellian electromagnetics in the evening. 13 May. Nothing but electromagnetics. 16 May. Worked on electromagnetics all day. 8 July. Electromagnetics still without success. 17 July. Depressed. Could not get on with anything. 24 July. Did not feel like working. 7 August. Saw from Riese's friction electricity that most of what I've found so far is already known. Letter from Heinrich Hertz to his parents, 6 December, 1884. There are rumors about my prospects here and at Karlsruhe, so that I am asked by various colleagues, "You want to leave us?" while I know nothing at all. Extract from the diary of Heinrich Hertz, 1885-1886. 28 November, 1885. Evening at the Saturday Night Social Club. 13 December. Solitary morning walk through a snowstorm to Ettlingen. 31 December. Happy that this year is over and hoping that it will not be followed by another like it. 22 January, 1886. Bad cold and toothache. 23 January. Went to bed as early as possible after slinking about all day. 12 February. Worked all day on a battery. 18 February. Zealous work on the battery. 24 March. Took on an apprentice mechanic in Martin's place. His first performance, he smashes the glass plate of the large electric friction generator. 15 June. Whitsun holidays, depressed by danger of war. 31 July, wedding day. 16 September, undecided about which project to begin. Heinrich Hertz, keynote address at the Imperial Palace, Berlin, August, 1891. Outside our consciousness, there lies the cold and alien world of actual things. Between the two stretches the narrow borderland of the senses. No communication between the two worlds is possible, excepting across the narrow strip. For a proper understanding of ourselves and of the world, it is of the highest importance that this borderland should be thoroughly explored. Memorial Appreciation of Heinrich Hertz, 1857-1894, by Max von Laue, Nobel Laureate. Now began the classic period of Hertz's life. While experimenting, Hertz found something unexpected. Extract from the diary of Heinrich Hertz, 1887. 3 June. Not much to be done because of damp weather. 7 June. Experimented a little, feel listless, with no desire to work. 15 July. Started to fill the large battery. 18 July. Experiments with sparks from the battery. 19 July. Desire to work vanishes completely. 7 September. Started to work in the laboratory on rapid oscillations. 8 September. Experimented to the heart of the matter. Letter from Heinrich Hertz to his parents, Autumn, 1887. My colleagues, as far as they think about it at all, will believe that I am up to my ears in optical experiments, but meanwhile, I have been doing some quite different things. Hertz's mentor, Hermann von Helmholtz, had long before asked him to test Maxwell's predictions. Hertz now realized he could achieve this by creating an apparatus with two parts. The first was a transmitter, where an electric spark jumped back and forth between shiny metal balls. He hoped that the moving field rippling out from the electric charges in those sparks would generate the invisible waves that Maxwell had predicted. The second part of his apparatus was a square wire hanger. That was the receiver. If he was right, invisible waves would fly out from his transmitter, travel across the auditorium, and reach this metal hanger. To confirm that they had arrived, he had cut a tiny gap in the hanger. If an invisible wave arrived, it would have to cross that gap and would produce yet another spark. There was no wire connecting the transmitter and the receiver. If he saw sparks in the gap of the receiver, then he'd know Maxwell's waves had flown across the room. Heinrich Hertz's keynote address to the German Association for the Advancement of Natural Science, Heidelberg, 20 September, 1889. The sparks, which have to be detected in the receiver, are microscopically short, scarcely a hundredth of a millimeter long. They only last about a millionth of a second. It almost seems absurd and impossible that they should be visible, but in a perfectly dark room, they are visible to an eye which has been well rested in the dark. Upon this thin thread hung the success of our undertaking.